In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to hour number two of the program for Friday, January 21st, 2011, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And I have to confess, of all the times that I've done the Federal News Countdown, it's been over a year. I think today maybe I should have just canceled the show or just stayed home and had a guest host or something like that. I have a sinking I know I do. That's the problem. I have a sinking suspicion that something is going to go awry in the countdown today. I don't even know how I got here.
This is the third time the three of us have been together in one studio on air. So, and three times three is like the apocalypse or something.
Yeah, it's a little frightening. The voice that you just heard is Mark Amtower, the host of Amtower Off Center. And I understand that you've written a book. I've not heard anything about it at all.
Yeah, you should talk about that sometime.
That's right.
I should.
Let people know. You've kept it quiet so far. You're never going to sell books doing that.
Came out the week before Christmas. You know, it's not exactly a stocking stuffer, even though I said that in my emails.
Uh-huh.
Great stocking stuffer. You know, selling to the government is actually doing pretty well.
Good.
By all reports from Amazon, which mm-hmm. seems to be the reporting device. And Mr. Dorbeck is happy because he has a Kindle version finally.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Yes.
the Dorbeck that's being alluded to is the Dorbeck Insider. Federal News Radio's Chris Dorbeck, who's my other guest on the Federal News Countdown this week.
Desperation. I love the Federal News Countdown. I've said that every place, and I love the show.
You have very graciously said that, and I'm glad to have you on it. On your book there, I see that you've got a blurb on the back from Karen Evans.
Karen Evans, David Meerman Scott, Bob Wise, Steve Ressler, and uh-huh. Ann Hanley, and the foreword by Phil Bond of the Tech America. Evans likes me.
In the midst of your plugs, a plug for myself that Karen Evans and Mark Forman will be on the show for both hours on Mondays.
Whoa,
in
good
depth
show.
With Francis Rose. So that should
cool.
be a,
that both should of be them a, together 2 hours.
Yeah, both of them here in the studio for 2 hours.
I will tweet before him.
A lot of brain power in that room, and I'll be there too. Yeah. So we start out on the Federal News Countdown this week with
number three.
Amtower, your story number three in the countdown is headlined Experts Corner, Mike Keating on 2011 Government Spending.
Yeah, Mike Keating is the research director for Government Product News and Government Procurement, Penton Publications.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, his Keating reports are always very cool. Good stuff. Really, really deep, boring kind of numbers things, but the numbers are really good for us. Slight increases in both state and local spending and slight increase in federal spending. He's predicating this on research that he gets from Congressional Budget Office, from organizations like the National Truck Equipment Association, National League of Cities, and others, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. It's good stuff, and it's good news.
Mm-hmm. I happen to note that this story, coincidentally enough, includes a quote from one Mark Amtower.
Yeah, I'm quoted in news media probably on an average of six times a month outside of FNR.
That's amazing. Are you quoted in any of your
resources.
Stories this week, Chris?
No, I'm not.
No?
He's a producer of one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I just checking. Just curious about that.
It's only one of three.
The story is headlined Experts Corner, Mike Keating on 2011 Government Spending, and it's posted right now at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Chris, your story is your number three story this week is kind of about us.
Yeah, it's a little close to home.
Yeah, the headline is WTOP radio deal is nation's largest in 5 years. And for anyone listening to the station who's been sleeping under a rock for the last however long we've been on the air, we are owned by the same company as WTOP, right. 103.5 FM. And so we're sister stations, and the company that owns those sister stations, Bonneville International, has sold WTOP, us, and 15 other radio stations to a company called Hubbard Broadcasting, based in Minneapolis. And the gist of this is what, in your view, Chris?
Well, there are a number of reasons that I find this very interesting. Number one, it's the first real radio deal in just years. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's the first big one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there have been small things that happened, but this is a pretty significant deal. And you know, WTOP is just a mammoth station. Number one in its market, has been basically the first
in the country.
It's been just enormously profitable. But I also think what they've done here with us is, frankly, I mean, part of the reason why I decided to join Federal News Radio is I think this is pretty innovative what we do. It's using this broadcast outlet to reach a niche audience. And, I mean, you know, I always tease people that, you know, you give us 22 minutes and we'll bore you to death because we talk about stuff that you would never hear on any normal, quote-unquote, air quotes, radio station. But we're doing pretty well and we're doing things. And so I got more calls that day and emails and tweets and people saying, I think one of the things we do is allow people to hear the emotion behind and why people make decisions. And it's been a very, very interesting. I mean, if you'd told me 20 years ago that there would be a radio station talking about this stuff, I never would have believed it. And so it's going to be, you know, a lot of folks, I think, legitimately worried about, okay, are they going to continue to do that? That was a question that everyone, yes, they are. In fact, the story that I have there quotes the general manager here saying nothing's changing. The reason they bought it is because they actually want they wanted the content. Yeah. That's what they were buying.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also a family run business. It's not like a venture roll up kind of gig where they're going to squeeze the profitability and toss the raisin.
Yeah,
It just was very buzzy when I was at the Tech America event where the new DoD CIO Terry Takei was speaking out for the first time, and everyone was coming up to me and saying, "Oh, what's happening?" I think there's general interest, and particularly, you know, it's two. So that's why I selected it.
Chris Dorbeck, story number three on the Federal News Countdown is titled WTOP Radio Deal is Nation's Largest in 5 Years. And you can read all about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Story number two from Dorbeck and from Mark Amtower, my guests on this week's Federal News Countdown, when the countdown continues.
Geico Gecko. Now, as a federal employee, you're probably one for a smart presentation, so I've put together some charts and graphs here. There you go. That will help illustrate the money you could save by switching to Geico. First thing you'll notice is that Geico now offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. Now, this is big news. But that shouldn't come as any surprise from a car insurance company that has been serving government employees since 1936. And as you can see on this graph here, it's probably why we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. Yeah, no, I do actually realise you can't see these, but trust me, they're rather impressive. Especially the 97% customer satisfaction rate. And when you consider it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more, well, all you GS7 employees or above should just contact Geico. Tell them, Mike.
Hey folks, this is Mike Causey, and the Gecko said it best. Most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above, could get a discount on their car insurance. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous! Hi, I'm Steve Bostic, president of Right Size Smoothies, and when I heard that, I was shocked, because I know that if you feed your body right, you can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-400-0861. And now I've made my smoothies even better, because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle, absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-400-0861. That's 1-800-400-0861.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Dan Trainer is the Chief Information Officer of the Tennessee Valley Authority. He says there's a simple motto the IT organization tries to live by to ensure they meet the agency's goals.
Run, one, and fun is what we like to say. Run IT like a business, meaning, you know, provide best possible products and services at a competitive cost. Be one with the business, and that's where that alignment thing comes in. And then fun doing business, which is all about the people that make up the IT organization.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. We're going to talk to city officials in Copenhagen. They've created what they call a visual idea map. It's a pretty cool way of sharing information, sharing ideas. We'll tell you about it. And how can you be a change agent? We're going to talk to the author of the book, Practically Radical, about some not-so-crazy ways to transform your organization. This afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The Federal News Countdown every week involves two people who are experts in the world of the federal government, choosing the news stories from the week that they think are the three most important to people who work for the government, ranking them in order, and then counting them down with me on the Federal News Countdown every Friday at 2 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This week, it's our own Chris Dorabeck and Mark Amtower, and Chris Dorabeck, we're up to... Your story number two of the week is U.S. intelligence agencies sharing too much. It's our national security correspondent J.J. Green's story. And when I saw you first tell me about this story, I could see your eyes just practically bulging out of your head.
Well, this is Mike Rogers, who is the new chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, essentially the House Intelligence Committee. They're the folks who deal with all the, you know, the secret stuff. And he told J.J. Green that essentially when you look at information sharing, I think we've almost overdone it. And he says, he went on to say, we've gotten into an era of need to share versus need to know. Need to know is an important provision when you're talking about some operation to keep us safer. Now, I'm fascinated by the whole subject. I think that there, through the internet, through the web, through things like Intellipedia, the federal government has come a long way in the past 5-7 years in learning how to share information in an effective way. Along came this WikiLeaks. Mm-hmm. And it has just completely, dramatically changed the landscape. And all of a sudden, my real fear is that we're knee-jerking and moving to a direction where we go back to where we were, where people don't share any information. And I occasionally reread the 9/11 Commission report. And I've also been covering this stuff for a long time and understand, I think, the real dangers of not sharing information. They always treat it like it's so dangerous to share information, but there are also very real dangers for not sharing information. Mm-hmm. And that has been essentially the default in most government organizations forever.
Yeah.
Some of that was because they didn't have it. There were no really effective ways of doing that. But now there are effective ways. WikiLeaks, absolutely. Real concern. You don't want to have things like that happen. I think it's frankly been overblown a little bit. And in fact, even some administration folks this week told folks on Capitol Hill, you know what? It's not quite as bad as everyone's making it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think the effective discussion was, how do we share information in an effective way, in a safe way? And that's part of the challenge is finding out, you want to make sure that the right people have the right information to make the best decisions at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And those aren't the criteria that are being discussed. How you delineate those criteria, we're going back to slamming the door shut. Yeah. And I think it's really, really a little bit scary for me.
Amtower, J.J. Green reports that Congressman Rogers said the sheer number, literally hundreds and thousands of people who have access to information, makes us scratch our heads about why they have access to it and what they're doing with it that would provide a better security network for the United States. And I think in a lot of cases you can't come to that conclusion, and it's caused us problems. That's a people issue. that's not an information issue. And the sense that I get is that Dorbeck's also talking about that, and I'm not sure that Congressman Rogers is talking about the people element. He's thinking about the information itself.
Well, if he's thinking about the information itself, it's got to be shared internally somehow. There has to be sharing of that information behind certain doors. Having hundreds of thousand people be able to access certain informations as Private Manning, you get into very dangerous territory. You get into very young people handling extraordinarily sensitive stuff. They think releasing it might benefit mankind, whatever. No, I mean, there has to be a number of safeguards in place. And frankly, there probably are too many people that have access.
Mm-hmm. Well, but to be fair, to the Defense Department has been extraordinarily effective over the last decade.
Yes.
At sharing information across the line. So if you're a frontline soldier, you can get a lot of very, very good information that helps you make decisions that you need to make. We're talking about people on the front lines.
Yeah.
And they need that information in order to make decisions that help them do their job better, which is wage war, protect us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. That was before we were talking about social networking or collaboration. The Defense Department has been at this for a long time. They've been thinking about how you do this in an effective way. Now, you're going to get, government has a tendency to take one case and blow it up as if it's everybody. This is one guy, one incident. Now, there are all sorts of ways that you can deal with that. That's a discussion we need to have. It's not information sharing in and of itself. Francis got it exactly right. This is a people issue and getting the right people to think about this in the correct way.
The story, Chris Dorbeck's number two story of the week, headlined U.S. Intelligence Agencies Sharing Too Much. It's our colleague J.J. Green's story on WTOP.com, and you can find it linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. The Federal News Countdown is every week at this time, and today, stories from chosen by Chris Dorbeck and also by Mark Amtower. Amtower story number two when the Federal News Countdown continues in a moment.
A persistent problem facing all government agencies today is disposal of their confidential documents or other sensitive material. The best solution is turning your confidential files into energy. That's right, energy. Get clean and go green with Energy Recovery Operations on Aberdeen Proving Ground in Edgewood, Maryland. Since 1988, Energy Recovery has destroyed all sorts of government confidential records and magnetic media while producing energy. There is complete destruction. Do the green thing. Turn your government confidential records into energy. Go to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. Your mission is possible. Stop identity theft. Burn your government sensitive records. Log on to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. That's energyrecoveryonline.com. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
On the move but need your CAPS info? CAPS Mobile lets you use your mobile phone to stay connected to the CAPS. Receive breaking news and special offers by text message. Check live scores and stats with a CAPS Mobile app. Enter Text to Win contest for great CAPS prices and much more. To join the CAPS Mobile Club, text CAPS to 43803 now. For more info on all CAPS Mobile offerings, visit the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCAPS.com. Stay CAPS connected with CAPS Mobile.
I'm not just some tall drink of water, you know. I mean, I wash your dishes, I do the laundry, I help put out fires. I'm always there when you need me, 24/7, at home, at work, just about anywhere. And I'm not expensive, but I have great taste. Well, I guess I am a tall drink of water, but I'm tap water, and that makes me special. For more information about what only tap water delivers, visit drinktap.org.
Profile America, Friday, January 21st. About now, people in many parts of the country are tired of winter and dreaming about their favorite warmer weather outdoor activities. Those dreams are fed by many fishing, hunting, and boating shows across the nation, showing the latest power in sailboats and fishing and camping equipment. Among the major events held this month, the Milwaukee Boat Show starts today and is expected to draw 25,000 winter-weary people. Boating is a major hobby in the U.S. We own nearly 17 million pleasure boats. Buying and maintaining new and used boats, including docking and storage, costs us over $33.5 billion a year. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Join AGA for its National Leadership Conference, February 17th and 18th at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center. AGA will bring together government, financial, management, and accountability leaders to share valuable insight, proven strategies, lessons learned. Sessions over current issues relating to the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the effects of political transitions, and what the future holds. Show your commitment to a more accountable future. Register today at agacgfm.org/NLC.
NBC News Radio, I'm Nora O'Donnell. President Obama has unveiled his new Council on Jobs and Competitiveness and its new leader, the CEO of General Electric, Jeff Immelt.
I know this council will be an important asset as we seek to do everything we can to spur hiring and ensure our nation can compete with anybody on the planet.
The president is in Schenectady, New York, where GE was founded. In a key turning point in her recovery, Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was moved today to a rehab center in Houston specializing in brain injuries. NBC's Janet Shamlian says she is expected to be in for months and months of rehabilitation.
This is a specialty facility, one of five in the United States that's known for this kind of work.
And excuse me, but Los Angeles has been named the rudest city in America. So much for the City of Angels label. New York is the runner-up for rudeness in the Travel and Leisure Survey, followed by Philly, Miami, and D.C. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Nora O'Donnell, NBC News Radio.
To care for your skin, Walgreens has Suave, Caress, and Vaseline. To care for your smile, Walgreens has Colgate. And to take care of your hard-earned money, Walgreens has great deals on these and many other personal care products. They're all priced at $1, $2, $3, or $4, making it easy for you to add up the savings. So stock up now on these terrific values, because it's the perfect time to take care of the things that are important to you. Walgreens, there's a way to save every day. Prices good on select sizes. See store for details. Valid through January 31st.
You know what? Life is touching. Really. From the moment we get up until we fall asleep, we're touching stuff. The escalator, the microwave, the car seat 9 times a day, you name it, we touch it. That's why it's important to disinfect the things we touch most with Clorox disinfecting products. They help kill the germs that can live on surfaces for up to 48 hours. That's a long time. So whether it's a doorknob, your kids' toys, or the handle on the fridge, keep disinfecting with Clorox disinfecting products. Use as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The Federal News Countdown involves experts in the world of the federal government choosing the three most important federal news stories of the week according to them, and then ranking them in order and counting them down on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM every Friday at 2. This week it's Chris Dorabeck, the Dorabeck Insider, and Mark Amtower. And Amtower, hey. Your story number 2 is from GCN. The headline is 10 Great Public Sector Websites. And we have links to all 10 of them at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. What do you think this means, that of these 10 great public sector websites that this writer selected, 5 of them are federal sites? Does that mean anything to you?
Well, first of all, this writer is Rutrell Yason, who's been in the market now for how long, Chris? 15 plus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, probably 10, 15 years. Yeah, long time.
And, you know, he's a tech head, so he likes to delve into the inner workings of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them fed, you know, there's a lot of federal websites. There's a lot of state and local websites. There's a good smattering of each here, I think. But I think, you know, from my perspective, this shows that there's a lot of effort out there to disseminate information that's important to various constituent audience. One of the reasons I chose this story, though, was to remind contractors that if you go into federal, state, or local government websites, you can ferret out a lot of usable information, a lot of research for your business.
Mm-hmm.
But these are pretty cool. You know, the Bay Bridge 360, if you go
really
there.
Really cool site if you haven't checked it out.
Yeah, it's really, it rocks. And California Gov, you talked about Ms. Takai. She's former CIO of California. I believe the CA.gov was constructed at least partially under her watch. The Louisville, Kentucky site. Very, very cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. The sites here do all kinds of different things, Chris, but the idea seems to be, how can we try to streamline repetitive tasks,
yeah,
things that a lot of different people do. All of these different state and local sites all have things like renewing driver's licenses and those kinds of things.
Well, two aspects that I think come out of this list. One is we always talk about the financial strains on federal agencies.
Yeah.
Federal agencies ain't felt nothing compared to what's gone on in state government.
A lot of state and local jurisdictions have laws that require balanced budgets every
right.
single year.
Right.
Except California.
And so, well, they're one of the few. And that's probably coming.
Real soon.
It probably will within the next 5 years because they're in such bad shape that they've got to at least...
$40 billion in debt is bad shape.
It's unbelievable.
But California, you know, $40 billion in debt, and yet they have the best website. They figured out that, guess what, this actually saves you money. Mm-hmm. Yesterday on our show, we talked to the GAO about IRS, and they're, do you know how much it costs IRS to process a paper tax return?
I know, because I listened to the Dorbeck Insider.
Well, it's almost more than $3, almost $3.50 per return.
Mm-hmm.
If that same return gets filed electronically, 19 cents. And again, these kinds of savings, if you can get that kind of savings by sending people to a website, and IRS has been very good. They didn't make the list, but they've been very good at, and now people go to the website first. It's incredible stuff. The other one that I have to point out, and I've been an enormous fan of it because it's such an innovative website, is recovery.gov,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really been transformational in terms of how it presents information, how it makes information open and transparent, just a remarkable site. In fact, Federal Computer Week is judging their Fed 100 awards, and I nominated the whole team, both the contractors and the government folks at the Recovery Board for Fed 100 awards, because this website has just completely transformed how you look at presenting government information. It's an amazing, amazing website.
Mm-hmm. And you're a Fed 100 winner from last year.
That's right.
The list, as I said, it's five federal and the rest are state and local. So we get a sense here of who's doing it right. Mark and Chris, both of you look at websites, especially federal websites. I'm not going to ask you to drop the dime on the people who have some work to do, but what are some common threads among the sites that are lagging?
Lack of navigation, burying information where it's difficult to find, not having, you know, your homepage be as robust as possible to make things that transparent. GSA just did a complete revise of its site, and I was afraid they were going to mess it up. They did not. They actually made it better. So making the information findable, if you can't do that, index the site and make the index very visible.
Mm-hmm.
And make it Googleable or Bingable or whatever search engine
trawlable.
So people, because that's more and more, and we find it in our website, more and more people aren't coming to your front page. They are searching things and coming inside, almost in the back door.
Yeah.
And so that's the way people find information these days, is they search for it. So you have to make it searchable.
Here's the challenge, though. MTower said something that I agree with, which is, put the stuff on, put it as much as you can on the homepage so that people know where to go. But at the same time, I've seen some that have like every single piece of information that somebody might have linked up on the homepage that it's just overwhelming.
You can't see. That's why drop downs are necessary. You have generic topics across the top or down the left or right side. And when you scroll over, when you mouse over that, the drop down menu occurs and then you see the rest of the stuff. You don't try to cram it. It's like a website that's selling stuff. If all the white space is gone, people go to the next page, not your site, the next site.
Yeah, it's just overwhelming after a while.
And it becomes, it's exactly why it becomes a Frankenstein monster website.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we see. It happens with news sites all the time because people say, well, I have to be on the homepage. And so all of a sudden you keep plopping things in and all of a sudden you have Frankenstein monster of a website.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks that this is so easy. It's not easy. and you have to come up with a process that works and think about it beforehand. And I think also some people think that this isn't, you shouldn't spend as much time on this. It's only a website. This is how, particularly for federal agencies, this is how the public looks at you. Mm-hmm. We talked to the folks over at SBA a little while ago.
Another good site.
And they do a very good site, and they're really trying to, and I think you'll see this more and more, become a place where all of a sudden you can build community around this website, mm-hmm. where SBA.gov can be a place where small businesses talk about their issues that are confronting them, almost, they don't use the term portal anymore, but a place where people can share information and share problems, all come together around one place. It's pretty cool and great opportunity for federal government to give back in a really important way, mm-hmm. become really valuable.
It's like using LinkedIn groups, only hosting it at the pertinent site.
Yeah.
The facilitation of repetitive tasks is the part of this that interests me the most, I guess, because it's what I have the most experience in interfacing with various government sites. Experience in paying traffic camera tickets in Montgomery County, Maryland.
I've never done that.
Through their website. So I have been fortunate to know on a number of occasions.
Spray Pam on your license plate.
Well, I'm not kidding.
I didn't say that on air.
No, you know what? I deserved them, so I should pay them and just get on with life. But that's an example of a site that it's easy to move around and find what you need to do. But to go back to your IRS example, $3.50 versus 19 cents is not the only consideration. It's certainly a big consideration. Right. But as somebody who's e-filed, I get my return faster if I'm getting a return back. I get it in less than a week, the times that I've e-filed, compared to waiting 4 to 6 weeks for a check to be mailed out. So you wind up with a citizen with a better interaction experience, and you save your agency a lot of money.
Well, and there's also, and GAO pointed this out yesterday, there's also dramatically fewer errors when people fill out their own information as opposed to writing it out where there are errors or you read it wrong or something. Because IRS has to take all those printed things and scan them in. And get them into an electronic form, and there's just a lot of errors that occur in that process. It's better all the way around.
Amtower story number 2 on the countdown this week's from GCN. The headline is 10 great public sector websites. And not only do we have the story linked up for you at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, you can go and check out all 10 of the websites as well. His story number 2 is, going to close out, number 2 on the countdown this week. Story number 1 from Mark Amtower and from Chris Dorabeck when the Federal News Countdown continues.
I'm Police Officer Sergeant Goodwin. I've been looking into a report of thieves operating in this area. We have now located their hideout, and it's at your local bank. The banks are robbing you blind.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. He's right. If you've got a mortgage, your bank is stealing from you because a typical monthly mortgage payment is 90% or more interest. And over the life of a 30-year mortgage, that can cost you a fortune. It should be illegal. But there's a proven way to eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. To prove it, let me send you a copy of my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. Stop getting robbed of your money and future. Get my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. For your free copy of my Live Debt-Free CD, call 1-800-600-1195.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard.
in cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Newsmakers on the Dorabeck Insider.
Tom Trabucco, Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board.
Somebody noticed a change in their account balance that didn't reflect contributions or earnings. So what we did is activated our core at the call centers to give them information for any of these folks to tell them of our plan to get this right. We'll notify all affected participants, offer to take the funds back, reverse the transaction, and make them whole.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Dorabeck Insider.
The Dorabeck Insider is one of the guests on this week's Federal News Countdown on Federal News Radio 1500 AM's In Depth with Francis Rose program. And in fact, we're up to
number one
on the countdown. Chris Dorabeck, your story number one, 5-year pay freeze, more federal job cuts proposed. The likelihood of any of this happening, though, is what really has people talking. What would you take out of this story from our own Jason Miller?
At this point, I'm not sure whether this proposal actually becomes law is really relevant, because it really pushes the boundaries. You know, we all remember that Monday when all of a sudden we came turned on the radio in the morning and heard Tom and Amy talking about the president proposing a 2-year pay freeze.
Yes.
I think it shocked everybody.
Nobody the hell out of me.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming. And so all of a sudden, now not only a 2-year pay freeze, add an additional 3 years onto that is what's being proposed, plus incredible cuts in spending, particularly in non-defense, non-homeland security, those kinds of areas. I don't want to say draconian, because that has, I think, editorial context. And my concern out of all this is this seems to me to be hacking away at stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than the discussion that I think is very relevant is, okay, what are we doing that making the determination, making a very smart determination, debating what are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? One of the challenges I think for feds is, guess we ask them to do things and then don't give them the resources mm-hmm. to do it. And so you don't pay them well, you don't get good people, you don't get the best and the brightest, and then you don't give them the funds to actually carry out the project, and then you haul them up the hill and bludgeon them for not doing their job. Well, that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a step back and say, hold on, what can we just not afford to do?
Right.
And then what we say is really important, what we have to do, let's do it in the way that should be done so it can be successful. Fund the projects, fund the people to get the best and the brightest, do it the way it should be done. This just doesn't make sense to mm-hmm. me.
Well, the best and the brightest don't usually inhabit Capitol Hill. And what we have here is a bunch of preconceived notion predicated on T-shirt philosophies. They came in with a blanket promise to cut $100 billion out of the budget. Now they're heck-bent on doing it regardless of what programs they butcher. And as Mr. Causey pointed out yesterday, I believe, a lot of this is going to come back and haunt their home districts. Well, welcome to Washington, boys and girls. Homework is necessary.
The list of provisions at the end of Jason's story says cutting the travel budget in half, $7.5 billion, trimming the federal vehicle budget by 20%, $600 million annual savings, cutting the Legal Services Corporation, $420 million. I'm not going to go through all the numbers.
$420 million.
National Endowment for the Arts, National Endowment for the Humanities, USAID savings, no funding for office space acquisition, IRS changing the way that they the way they account for money, requiring collection of unpaid taxes by federal employees, $1 billion there, selling excess property. Some of these are already in place. Some of these are already starting to happen, like the collection of taxes from federal employees.
Yeah, and there are proposals to actually make that happen. And, you know, so it's a question of Mark Segres from our sister station, WTOP, gets the numbers every year of the number of federal employees who haven't paid their taxes. Guess what? If you're a Fed and you haven't paid your taxes, go pay your taxes.
You should be ashamed of yourself,
well,
really.
That's number one, you ought to be. But
editorially, that's...
Well, and there may be reasons for that, but work with the IRS. Get it done, because pretty soon, if you're an IRS employee, that's a firing offense.
Yeah.
And it probably is going to be through the rest of government.
Mm-hmm.
Go get it done. Get it done now.
Yeah.
But so a lot of these things I think most people wouldn't disagree with. The question is, and my sense from feds is they don't... if it meant contributing to the overall reduction of the deficit, and everybody's willing to chip in, we understand how big the debt is,
mm-hmm.
and everybody gets that we don't want to leave that to our kids. That being said, let's take a holistic look at it. Feds have made a lot of sacrifices. We've gone through this sham of the great Fed pay debate over the past year, which I just, how anyone can really contend that feds are paid double the people in the private sector just doesn't, if that were true, we would see lines around federal agencies of people waiting for jobs. And the jobs that I hear that feds are hiring, cybersecurity jobs. Yesterday, I just heard a real shortage of health IT people.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of employees, they can't get them.
Right.
And because they don't pay well, and because they have to deal with bureaucracy, and there's a fascinating story in The Atlantic this month about senior military officers leaving because they just get tired of the bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to deal with that anymore. They get tired of being bludgeoned.
They're bludgeoned on Capitol Hill. You spend 22 years in
frankly,
the service and you get invited to the Hill to get reamed by a moron.
By the Hill and by us in the media. And we don't, you know, everyone acknowledges if you make a mistake, well, fine, I made a mistake. But what we do is we bludgeon them and beat them silly. And on top of that, don't give them the resources to do the job that they've been asked to do. And that's just not fair.
Great story.
Chris Dorbeck's story number one is by our own Jason Miller. The headline is 5-year pay freeze, more federal job cuts proposed. And you can read it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Amtower's story number one is next to wrap up today's Federal News Countdown on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Select games for the Washington Capitals' top affiliate team, the Hershey Bears, can now be heard on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Follow the back-to-back Calder Cup champions and future Caps as they take on Adirondacks Sunday, January 23rd, starting at 4:30 p.m. on 1500 AM. Don't miss any of the amazing saves, electrifying goals, and history in the making as the Hershey Bears chase an historic third straight Calder Cup. For tickets, call 717-508-BEAR or visit HersheyBears.com.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
A persistent problem facing all government agencies today is disposal of their confidential documents or other sensitive material. The best solution is turning your confidential files into energy. That's right, energy. Get clean and go green with Energy Recovery Operations on Aberdeen Proving Ground in Edgewood, Maryland. Since 1988, Energy Recovery has destroyed all sorts of government confidential records and magnetic media while producing energy. There is complete destruction. Do the green thing. Turn your government confidential records into energy. Go to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. Your mission is possible. Stop identity theft. Burn your government-sensitive records. Log on to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. That's energyrecoveryonline.com. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
What is the information technology strategy for the Federal Bureau of Investigation? How is the FBI modernizing its technology infrastructure and ensuring IT investments align with its overall mission? And
How is the FBI providing balanced stewardship between information and technology? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these and other questions with his very special guest, Chad Foljam, Chief Information Officer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown, and story number one from Mark Amtower is a WashTech story. And you're a big fanboy of Washington Technology, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Nick Wakeman's story is headlined, Contractors Put More Focus on Being Focused. What's he mean by that?
Well, he's actually, it's a blog post, and he's soliciting or eliciting comment from the general community. But basically what they're talking about is the pendulum is swinging back to what is your core strength? In the 90s and the early 2000s, the top 10 were bulking up, just buying more and more. You know, I want to be in the top 5. I want to be in the top 2. I want to knock out Lockheed, so people were bulking up by acquisition, and not all the acquisitions worked. There were cultural differences, management, differences, and a lot of these things just sort of fall apart before they're really done. But Raymond James and Raymond James Financial, if you're not familiar with them, has actually been following the government market on and off for about at least 15 years, one of the few financial advisory firms that does so proactively. So when they come out with stuff, I pay attention. They're saying that most of the top 100 now are focusing on core strengths. What do we really do? How do we bulk up that area, divesting themselves of the peripheral activities? It's kind of a pendulum thing. In 6 or 7 years, people will be bulking up again because they want to be number one, they want to be in the top 10. Mm-hmm. If you're in the top 10, you're going to win big deals. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what the big deals do, it matters that you win them.
Yeah.
Then you put together a team that can actually do the work.
Mm-hmm. With all the action this year in M&A, is this a particularly busy time for that kind of thing, Mark, or is this pretty standard operating procedure?
It's surprisingly not slow. I don't know that the M&A activity in our market ever took a real hit.
Mm-hmm.
The prices may have been slightly depressed. Maybe the multiples weren't what they were, certainly in the dot-bomb era. People actually like to see results now as opposed to some, 12 volume plan on taking over the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Predicated on, pipe dreams and tea leaves.
I've had a number of executives, though, on my industry chatter this year who have either been acquired or who have acquired other companies, and they always say the same thing when I ask them, why'd you do it? Money's cheap right now.
Yep.
You can get deals done a lot less expensively than you could have in the past.
True.
And it with the potential budget crunch that we're going to be under for the next foreseeable future, I guess, it's really one of the few ways to grow your bottom line is just to buy more business in the form of the contracts that these companies that you're acquiring have.
Well, the contracts they have and the core strengths that they bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So if you match the core strength with the issues that are hot, and hot in the government market means not only are people talking about them, but they're being funded.
Yeah.
So health IT is one. It was very difficult for me not to pick a cybersecurity story because every newsletter I get from any of the publications, the top stories of the day, half of them are cyber, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I chose none.
Yeah.
But the technology.
Counterculturalist you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just crazy that way.
Yeah.
But.
Not just that way.
But, well, yeah, in a number of ways. Ask anybody. But cyber is hot. And if you own a niche in that,
mm-hmm.
a demonstrable past performance niche, you've got some multiples.
Chris, are all of these changes in companies that are doing business with the government and having, in some cases, very large contracts in place in the midst of trying to make these transitions, good, bad, or indifferent for the agencies, do you think?
It's interesting. The challenge that I keep hearing from folks these days is they of course have to make money, and they're all trying to figure out what the age of austerity means for them. And frankly, I was very surprised on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever Terry Takei's event, there were a lot of high level folks there, all interested in meeting the DOD CIO and, very high level folks from industry, all wanting to hear because they're very focused on I think Nick hit it exactly right. They are very focused on being focused. They are very, very concerned about what all this means for their bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wasn't a photo op for them. They wanted to meet.
Yeah.
And figure out, I think the good thing that comes out of this is, guess what? They're all very focused on the mission of the agencies. So agencies can now really, if they get their specifics and their specs all correct and get everything lined up, it can be a real good opportunity because you have a very, very eager contractor workforce that's ready to be very successful and probably at better prices, too, to be honest.
One of the things about in some of these M&As that I've seen that I find interesting, though, AM Tower, is that some of them seem, at least to me on the surface, to be contrary to what you're talking about and what Nick is writing about, and that is companies are going out and acquiring other companies that don't really have anything to do with the core set of skills that they have in place now.
The acquiring company doesn't have the skill.
Well, yes, company A is buying company B, and what company B does isn't really related to anything company A does.
Then it's probably a situation where company A is looking at an emerging vehicle that requires X, Y, and Z skill set that they don't have.
But in some cases, they're so far removed that I have a hard time seeing a connection, or doesn't it really matter that much?
If the acquired company has the relationships in the agency that's going to be awarding the contract, you've got a potential win scenario.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that's interesting is you're starting to see organizations breaking up, getting smaller. Motorola did this where they're breaking up into two because they want that focus.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, it's a little bit of, we go around this circle, they get bigger and then they pull it together. It's like a little accordion.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're in that place where they need that focus. They need that agility in order to meet the needs of their government clients. And,
yep.
And that's how they're doing it.
Great conversation as always, gentlemen. Thank you very much for doing it. Chris Dorbeck's story number one is on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, as well as AmTower's story number one from Nick Wakeman in Washington Technology. Contractors put more focus on being focused. Gents, thank you for focusing on the countdown this hour. It's great to have both of you here. You've got a big Dorbeck Insider show starting in just a little bit.
And in fact, my number one story, we're going to be talking a lot about that. We're going to talk to Don Kettle from University of Maryland. We're going to talk to Mike Causey. We're going to talk to the partnership for public service, a lot of coverage of this because I think it's pretty important. Obviously, I called it number one.
Right? Exactly right. The Dorbeck, thank you, AmTower. The Dorbeck Insider's up next on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.